Welcome to the Holistic Health Podcast, where we delve into topics that bridge wellness and science for the skin, gut, mind, body, and soul. This podcast is brought to you by Gvome, where we believe that each of us has a unique ecosystem and path to reach our full vitality.
I'm your host, Dr. Raja Sivamani, an integrative physician and an Ayurvedic practitioner. Gvome is the notion that our jiva, the Sanskrit word for vitality and the essence of life, merges with our many ecosystems that compose our biome to form our unique jivome. This podcast is meant for educational and informational purposes only. None of the information presented here are a substitute for professional medical care, and this podcast does not constitute medical advice. If you have a medical concern, please consult with your physician. Namaste, everyone, and we are talking about how to juice, but to do it healthy, and we're talking to Chef Kimber Dean. If any of you heard the last podcast, she is dynamic and she's a woman that's got a lot of experience around food and how to eat well with food. And it's so awesome for me to be able to talk to someone that's got such a great deep relationship with food that also has this mind-body approach. So just to give you all a background on Kimber, she is a chef. She graduated from the California Culinary Academy. And then she also did her yoga training, and she's also got a personal nutrition diploma from the Shaw Academy. And she now has opened Nourish Cafe and Market. So food is her life, and we're happy to have you here, Kimber.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be back.
So I wanted to jump right into things. For starters, a lot of us talk about juicing and juice diets and detoxing, but then you also hear from the other side that juice is chock full of sugar. And I know personally, just going through medical training and thinking about juice, we equate juice to just the sugar components of fruits. But I think you're going to expand our knowledge around what juice actually means, isn't it?
Yeah. So I juiced with a typical centrifugal force juicer that just juices really quickly when I was in North Carolina, and I juiced every day. Now with Nourish Cafe and Market, we do a cold press juicer, so that doesn't heat up the food like the centrifugal blender does, and it allows the enzymes to stay whole and undisrupted, which is just, you know, better for us in general. So we cold press juice at Nourish, but I support all juicing if that's something that you want to have in your life.
That sounds like a t-shirt. We need to get that.
Yes. I love it.
You made a comment. I don't want to move past it because it's something that it struck me really deeply. Before you jump into this, just, you know, we know in Ayurvedic medicine, or just our approach to life, you know, we have these elements like earth, air, fire, water, and they're all, you know, you look at the Indian system, Ayurveda, and how it translates over to how we live. These elements are all around us. And when you talked about heating foods or heating juice, that really struck a chord with me. So are you saying that when we use our blender, or we use something that's got high energy, that's putting a lot of motion, does that heat up our food significantly?
It does heat it up. Yeah. I don't know how significant it is. I'd have to read some more research, but you know, it's just like smoke points in oils. If you're heating up a extra virgin olive oil that has a lower smoke point than regular olive oil, that's not extra virgin, you know, that's going to take those enzymes, turn them into free radicals, so that when you consume them, it might increase your white blood cell count, which can be dangerous to some people. So that heat can affect your food. I know Vitamix, they make their blender, and I think Ninjas too, that if you leave it on long enough, it can heat up a soup for you. So yeah, no, I do think that blenders can heat up your food. I just don't know how long it would have to be on to make it significant for your food. I just know that's a centrifugal juicer with that blender in it. It does heat up your food. Obviously, cold press does not.
Yeah, no, that's a really important point that you're making. Now, I'm sure, you know, you use whatever you can to get the juice going. But now, on that note, what is your approach to juicing, and why is juice not full of sugar in your case? Because I know that you're someone that's dealt with sugar cravings in the past, and you've really cut refined sugars out and sugars in general. Tell us about how we should approach juices, and does that mean sugar necessarily?
Yeah. So at Nourish, we juice every single day. We juice between 50 and 80 juices a day. Our biggest seller is our three-day juice cleanse. So people get four bottles of cold pressed juice, and then we actually make our own anti-inflammatory cashew milk. And then we have the option to add bone broth on. So that's kind of our cleanse. is we do it all rounded to help the whole body. Some people say that juicing is really bad for you because it's higher in sugar. That can be very true depending on what you use. If you're using, you know, melons, pineapple, mangoes, peaches, orange juice is really high in sugar. I know people don't want to hear that, but it is. You know, grapes are really high in sugar. So staying away from those as much as possible and trying to go through the low sugar options like grapefruit or Granny Smith apples is what we use. Lemons and limes are great. Kiwis, you know, berries are great. But because, you know, juice doesn't have that fiber that we're trying to get to like a smoothie would have. Juices are more to, I guess you could say a detox. It just depends on where your body's at. I think that they are very detoxing. But yeah, so when you are juicing, on another note with that, it's hard because those low sugar options, you want to find things that have a lot of water content in them. So you're getting your best bang for your buck, right? You want to juice things that are going to give you a lot of juice. Like obviously a banana, which is high in sugar, is going to give you no juice, or berries, very little juice, even though they have those antioxidants you want and all those other minerals and vitamins. But you know, an apple, a Granny Smith apple, that's going to give you a lot of juice. A grapefruit's going to give you a lot of juice. The lemon, the lime, but those aren't always the yummiest things to eat. They're a little bit more tart. So it's just finding that happy balance of, you know, something that will get it a little bit sweeter if that's what you're looking for. And then also having that water content in the fruit to give you enough juice so you're not spending a ton of money on what you're juicing.
So how much extra juice are you putting into your mix? Because, you know, a lot of folks that I talk to that are making juices, they're putting in something like apple juice or orange juice, or they're adding an extraneous juice. Do you take that approach, or how, what do you suggest people should do when they're trying to fill out the water component of their juice?
It depends. So we, right now, our juice special for the month, we do a monthly juice special, is our keto juice. And we go through a lot of broccoli at Nourish and we cut it all up ourselves. So we are actually juicing our broccoli stems, spinach, celery, and lemon juice. And so that's our keto juice, and it has very little sugar, if any, I believe. And we had to just put a lot of lemon juice in it, almost like a lemonade, just to, you know, make it taste good. But the keto people love it. It's so interesting to see it like fly off the shelves because it's not something that I personally would drink every day, not for fun anyway. But then we have a True Green, Immunity, and Glow are our three juices that we have year round. And with Glow, for example, it's got beets, carrots, kale, and then we have apples in it, Granny Smith apples. And we put each bottle has 1 ounce of orange juice in it. So very, very small amount of orange juice per bottle. But that's just to cover up that beet taste that a lot of people don't like. Yeah, I think finding like Granny Smith apples are good. If you get any other kind of apple, it's going to be a little bit higher in sugar. But just knowing where it comes from. Another big thing when we were opening Nourish is I could not find a citrus that was juiced, that was inexpensive and didn't have citric acid. So we have to, you know, yesterday we juiced 4 cases of oranges, 2 cases of lemons, and 1 of limes. And that's a normal week for us that we're juicing. And when I say cases, I'm talking 50 pounds of produce.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot.
We go through a lot of juice. It's great. I love it. I love how many vegetables and fruits we put into people.
So when you're looking at juice, do you bring in a lot of vegetables? Because what I'm hearing is you're bringing in broccolis, you're bringing in beets, you're bringing in things that people don't classically think about with their juicing. So should people expand for those that are making juices at home? And many of us are trying to do healthy, quick eats, and juices tend to fit the bill for that. So 2 questions for you. What are some unique vegetables that people might want to start incorporating into their juices that maybe we don't think about? That's the first one. And then the second one is, what do you do with all that fiber that's getting left behind? Do you incorporate that into the food later, or how do you?
I love that. I love that question. Okay, so for the first one, we use scraps. Scraps are amazing. You can juice any part of a vegetable or fruit. So with veggies like beet leaves, those have a lot of different vitamins and nutrients than the beets themselves. The celery bottoms, the celery tops, carrot tops, broccoli stems, those things that are considered scraps or garbage. We use a lot of kale stems. So we actually cook with a lot of kale at Nourish. We go through about 40 pounds a week, and it's local, organic, Three Creeks, love them. And we use the stems to juice with. So it's just always figuring out a way to use every part of the produce and letting that you know, help your wallet, basically. I mean, owning a restaurant and our quality of food is so expensive, I really have to figure out every single way to use things. And then the pulp, I love that you asked that question because nobody really asked me that. We have made crackers with it. We have made veggie burgers with it.
Oh my gosh, this is awesome.
Yeah, you can make, I've made cupcakes with the carrot and I've made muffins. So you really can do whatever. You can make cereal with it. I mean, the sky's the limit really with that pulp. We compost it too if we don't use it. We compost 100% of everything we use, coffee grounds, eggshells, meat products, and produce. So that I'm really proud of that with the sustainability. But yeah, so I love that you asked that because nobody ever asked it.
Well, you know, when it comes to juices, one of the things that we know, because I do a lot of work with gut health and the gut microbiome, we know that the fiber is super important as a prebiotic for the bacteria that are in your gut. And so when you juice, one of the worries that I have is that you're not taking the pulp with it. You're just getting the water component, and that pulp is so important. Now, Kimber, I've never heard anyone doing so many cool things with the pulp before. So we've got to figure out how to get, do you have a bunch of recipes that you've gotten put together with just how to eat pulp?
No, but I could totally write some. I kind of just throw things together with the pulp because honestly, nobody's asked me what to do with it, but I could definitely get some recipes together for your website and we could share those.
Yeah, that would be awesome. But when you say you eat them as like a burger patty or something like that, how do you do that? I really wanted to jump into that aspect of things. Do you just pack it together? What's your approach?
So you got to find something that's going to bind it and is a little bit more because you lose all that moisture. So you need some moisture to like get it together. I really like black beans. You could use any bean really and just puree it. Just off the top of my head, I would do like black beans pureed, some coconut aminos, the pulp of whichever one you wanted to use. And then I would probably use flaxseed or flax meal ground up to have it as the binder instead of an egg. And then I would just patty them and grill them or put them in the oven or however you want to cook them. You could even do meatballs instead of a burger.
Oh, so clever. I tell you, that is so clever. I've never heard, just like you said, you hadn't heard anyone ask about pulp. I mean, this is all I think about is pulp all day long. To be honest, but like all the different versions of pulp, right? We're always thinking like what's going to be a prebiotic, what's going to grow the good bacteria. But then it seems like you're really resourceful as a chef. So where do you think people could find more about juicing? Like what are some approaches that people could take when trying to figure out what vegetable to use? Or can you just use any vegetable and include that into a juice?
Yeah, I mean, really, you can juice anything besides something like a banana that has like no moisture at all and would just clog up your machine. But I mean, it's just finding ways to make your juice. You want to use something that has a lot of water content, and then you want to do the fun things. So root vegetables like carrots, beets, ginger, turmeric, we use those a lot. Those aren't going to have as much juice as, say, an apple, a cucumber, celery, kale stems. So finding that right mixture, and you can, like I said, you can really use anything you want. Skins, I like to tell people about skins. Skin might not taste good on some things, so taking it off maybe a melon or something like that, but skins have a lot of nutrients in them. So, you know, we juice everything with the skins on. Carrots, apples, like those are really important nutrients that we don't want to lose. And we want those phytonutrients in there. And so you could do herbs, even if you're just trying to cover up a taste, say you're trying to do no sugar at all, like the keto one, you could do mint, basil, I mean, fennel, dill, cilantro, and parsley are really powerful detoxifying herbs. They help pull out heavy metals out of the body. So just, you know, yeah, you can do anything. And any plant that's in your grocery store at the farmer's market has a benefit. So juice whatever plant you want that isn't, you know, going to hurt your body, which the grocery store, they're not going to have anything that will hurt you. So yeah, juice away.
Yeah, great points. In fact, when I talk to my patients about different sort of herbal mixes that I want them to incorporate, because herbs are, they're such lively plants. I mean, they can be spices, but they definitely interact with the body and they can really shift the balance of the body too. It's amazing. So I do have them take it as a powder and include it into juices. And part of the reason that we do that, or into smoothies, part of the reason that we do that is because if you take something as a capsule, you don't get that effect on the tongue. And I do believe that having the tongue activation is important. It's not unnecessary. I get it. If people need to take capsules, it's totally fine. But if you look at it from the herbal approach and the Ayurvedic approach, you definitely need to hit your tongue because they all have what are known as taste principles and then long-term effects. And so getting that going with it, hitting your tongue in the very beginning is really important. Now, like you said, sometimes it's just not palatable. And so for people, it's like, well, if it hits my tongue, it's never going to hit my tongue a second time. We try to make that much more palatable. I think coming up with a way of putting it into juices is an excellent idea. I love that you made that point.
Yeah. I mean, we have microgreens that are local right now that we have in our keto juice too. And like you said, herbs are just like little powerhouses that are full of micronutrients. Like they are just so important and they help with everything, you know, respiratory, your brain, everything in your body, they help you with. Another thing too that we do, I've been a doTERRA essential oil consultant since 2013. I don't really focus on that. I love essential oils. And so I've actually used like basil because, you know, it goes back to budget and saving money and having things around that aren't going to spoil that you can use at any time. So having lemon, lime, peppermint, cinnamon, ginger, orange essential oils, those aren't going to have as much sugar, especially the orange one, because they cold press it with the peel. So you're not getting that sugar. So that's another way to kind of disguise things if you have essential oils sitting around. But yeah, using all of those little tips just to make it somewhat palatable if you have to, because, you know, with juicing, we were talking about, it is higher in sugar. I'm not going to lie. Most times they are, but you're flooding every cell in your body with high alkaline, enzyme-rich, bioavailable nutrients with that chlorophyll that's going to detoxify your blood and increase your red blood cell production. You know, it removes heavy metals, it eases inflammation. Juices are great. I prefer to do like a one-day juice cleanse, like maybe every other week, just to reset my body. And I mean, I'm pretty healthy, but you know, I also, you know, like my chocolate chip cookies. I make my own chocolate chips and make the cookies. So they're pretty healthy, but they do have coconut sugar in them. So I like to do like a one-day cleanse every once in a while. But I mean, we have so many people that get three-day juice cleanses from us. Another tip, if you're doing a juice cleanse, a lot of people ask me two things. One is, what if I get hungry? I always suggest bone broth first because it's a little more filling and it's just so good for your gut health. And if you are detoxifying on a juice cleanse, that's really great. Or just doing like raw seeds or nuts or maybe some raw veggies that are high in water content, like some lettuce or a cucumber or something like that. And then also a lot of people ask me what to eat after the juice cleanses, which was really surprising to me because they're like, well, I don't want my stomach to be hurt after I do this. So that was really interesting how many people didn't know what to eat. And I just tell them, I'm like, slowly incorporate things, you know, start with maybe gluten first, see if it affects you, and then do dairy and then do eggs and just slowly see what affects you so that you can maybe start to learn. And really it's about that mindfulness, you know, checking in, how does my body feel? Is this making me feel good? Maybe not. And after a juice cleanse, it's so perfect because you've just detoxified all of that out of your body. So it's so much easier to listen to your body.
Yeah, that's the key, isn't it? Just to listen to your body and figure out how it's responding. And sometimes you do need to cleanse the palate. And along with juicing, a lot of people will do fasting. So that's something that would be fun to unpack in the future if we talk about fasting at some point.
We love intermittent fasting.
Yeah, and exactly. So now you made a comment about peels. I just want to talk about that because it's such a good point. And I've been talking to people about why peels are so important. When you look at peels on fruits, for example, they're out in the sunlight all the time. They're just getting bombarded by environmental toxins or environmental just insults, whether it's sunlight or it's like pollution or other insects that are coming their way. So they have a lot of natural phytochemicals. And you are absolutely right. Like, for example, if you look at mangoes, they are so full of naturally occurring chemicals like anthraquinones, polyphenols, they have carotenoids. A lot of it are just in the peel. And so I think it's so nice that you talk about taking the peel and putting it into a juice. Do you ever tell people that if they're going to peel their fruits and they're going to eat them, then save it or set it aside for the juice? Don't toss it. Do you ever talk about how people could, because you talked about all the throwaway things that people toss. Uh-huh. I'm just thinking, gosh, we should be telling people that, hey, listen, if you don't like eating the peel straight, try to get it into a juice. Do you ever talk to people about that?
Oh yeah, all the time. Cause you know, from what I read, it's been a few years. The skin has a lot more nutrients than maybe the pulp on the inside.
Yes, absolutely. Exactly.
With most plants. Yeah. So, why wouldn't it? The whole point that at Nourish and what I do is giving you the most nutrients to have the best life possible. So like pineapples, the skin produces so much juice. It's insane. But you know, that's really high in sugar. So we only do pineapples for our juice specials once a year or so. But yeah, no, the skins, I tell people that all the time, or, you know, running a restaurant, like I said, I train a lot of people. We have a lot of juicers, and I'll see a celery butt is what we call the end left behind. And I'm like, oh no, 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 no. Like that's yield for us. That's juice. We're going to juice that. Like that is not bad. I mean, yeah, somebody doesn't want to see it on their salad, but we're going to keep that. And we're going to put that in a juice. Yeah.
That is the advantage of juicing, isn't it? You can take things and still extract the nutrition that's in there from it so that you don't necessarily toss it, because it's still got goodies in it. Even if it's something that's like something we can chew down on so easily, it's definitely got goodies in there. So,
oh, always.
Can you talk about your two cookbooks that you've put out? And I'd love for people to not only hear about your approach to food, but I'd love for them to read about your approach to food and start incorporating it. So tell us about your cookbooks.
Yeah, I love it. So Happy Food Cookbook came out in 2015, and then Happy Baking and Desserts came out in 2018. Everything I do is gluten, soy, corn, dairy, and processed sugar-free. Now, everything is the same at Nourish, but we do use two local cheese farmers for a couple items on our menu, but I don't use any dairy milk at Nourish anyway. But yeah, so my cookbooks are just whole food, plant-based, not a lot of meat, not a lot of sugar, and just easy ways for you to incorporate daily things that you eat on just a whole nother energy and health level. Like the quality and how you'll feel is just amazing, because that's what it's all about, right? Is feeling good. Why are we living these lives just feeling sluggish and like sick all the time? We want to feel our best so that we can live our best lives. So that's my approach with my cookbooks. I try to make it very welcoming and not overwhelming, because let me tell you, when I first started and I was a recovering drug addict, so I had my own issues, it was overwhelming. It was like, what is true? What research is true? How do I know what's true? And listening to your body is the number one thing, because nobody can tell you how you're feeling. And then just, you know, finding the best quality food, I think, is so important. I don't have a lot of juices. I actually don't think I have any juices in my cookbooks, but I would love to work with you and get some maybe juice recipes up on your website if that's something you're interested in.
Oh my God. You know, because we personalize to people's unique imbalances. And then that is so true even with any foods that you eat. The beauty of taking this combined approach of like the naturopathic, Ayurvedic, traditional Chinese medicine, conventional approach, and we roll that all together, is really looking at people's unique imbalances. And I think if we could work on some ways of developing juices that can really fit into a person's tendencies and, you know, keep them from getting out of balance. Talk about juice detox. Let's do juice pre-tox. I think that that's what we need.
Yes.
We need to start thinking about food as pre-tox.
Oh, I love that. 100%. You're right. Yes.
That's going to be important. Now, how can people find you online? Because you have a pretty cool website. You also talk about, you've talked about Nourish Cafe and Market. Can you talk about where we can find you online and tell us about Nourish?
Okay. I have my personal chef page, chefkimberdean.com, and then we have nourishcafemarket.com. Both of those names, you can find me on Instagram or on Facebook. My business partner, we're 50-50 partners at Nourish, and she has an MBA in business. So she does all of the accounting and marketing from home. And then I'm the chef and the CEO of operations. So I like to say I deal with employees and she deals with Uncle Sam, and I think it's a good trade.
Someone's got to deal with Uncle Sam, right? Someone's got to deal with him.
She's really good at it too. So yeah, if you follow Nourish, she is incredibly smart with all of these brands as well. She does our blog. She promotes all of that. And I love it. I get to work with all these farmers. I get to just play with food all day long. I get to help people heal. And so at Nourish, I mean, I'm working with someone right now who has rheumatoid arthritis, people with some cancers, postpartum, mental disorders, I mean, you name it, inflammation, arthritis, asthma. I've helped people with all of these things. Children are my favorite to help because they just tell you how it is and they're the best critics for me to get better. So I love working with kids. But yeah, we just love what we do. We're actually opening our first franchise. It's already started, but we're going to do our brick and mortar once things kind of calm down in the economy soon. So that's really exciting too. But yeah, that's everything we're doing. And we just love what we do. We love feeding people healthy food. We have amazing customers and I just love watching people heal. I'm sure you feel the same.
Oh, eating right is such a journey. And especially with kids, you get them to start eating right. That's a lifelong approach to healthiness. So I think your commitment to food is infectious. And I think your passion for food just totally shows. So Kimber, thank you so much for spending time with us today and just educating us a little bit about juices, but maybe more importantly, inspiring us about how to eat right and enjoy our foods.
Kat, thank you so much for having me. I always enjoy talking to you and sharing my knowledge, and hope we get together soon for these.
This is the Holistic Health Podcast, brought to you by Jivong, where we believe that cultivating a healthy ecosystem unique to you is important to living vital and living well. Don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to our channel, and be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and visit us at jivong.com. Check out our membership options to take your health to the next level.